I am delighted to introduce everyone to Miriam Burns, who needs no introduction to a lot of people who follow music. But her position is especially important now because Miriam Burns is on the faculty of the School of Music at The Ohio State University as Director of Orchestras. She comes by that profession honorably since she has been music director of many different orchestras. We'll talk about it. There are probably three or four right now. We'll get there. But first, welcome Miriam Burns.
Thank you, Christopher Purdy. I feel like I know you because I know your voice, hearing you on the radio for so many years.
You have roots in Ohio. You're from Westerville, grew up in Westerville. Your dad was OSU faculty. Your mom is still in the area.
Still in the area.
So what are you finding now that you're spending probably more time in your professional life in Central Ohio?
As you mentioned, I grew up in Westerville, moved to New York. We're skipping all of the prerequisites, but I moved to New York back in my student days, never left, came back here quite often. Now that my mom is in Wesley Glenn Senior Living, has been there for 5 years, a wonderful place. I was actually coming here twice a month anyway to oversee her care, and I hadn't anticipated working here, although I've always kept my eye on what's going on with the Columbus Symphony. Now Rossin Milanoff is there. It's wonderful. ProMusica Chamber Orchestra with David Dansmeyer, wonderful conductor. And of course, Ohio State. And I know that Marshall Haddock was the longtime music director there. And now this is going to date me, Chris, but I was at Marshall's audition in the orchestra. When he retired, I get all the news from Bill Baker, former professor of oboe at Ohio State, who also lives at Wesley Glenn. You know, news travels fast about what happens at the School of Music. So I heard that Marshall left, and then I understand they had a couple of one-year appointments, and you know, I was not really interested in a position to move here, but I went to Ohio State as a student before I moved to New York while I was still in high school, early admission. So I've always been interested in what is going on here. So a friend of mine is on the faculty, Mark Rudolph, the wonderful cello teacher. I was delighted when he got the position about 8-10 years ago. And you know, always happy when someone gets a job, but when somebody really deserving gets a job, I was just thrilled. And I remember going out for brunch with Mark and with Marshall Haddock, and just talking about old times and so forth. And you know, I had a premonition. I never entertained the thought, but I just looked at Marshall and I didn't even say anything at the time, and I forgot about it. But I had a premonition. I wonder what will happen when Marshall retires. And I had always stayed away from academic positions in the beginning and middle of my career, and because as a conductor, as a professional conductor, you tend to get a little typecast.
I'm looking at your performance calendar from your website, and these are some orchestras: the Orchestra of the Redeemer in New York, the Tysons McLain Orchestra in Virginia, the Billings Youth Orchestra, the Ohio Valley Symphony Orchestra. You are our music director of a couple of these bands. You were also on the staff for a number of years on the New York Philharmonic, having been brought there by Kurt Mazur.
That's right.
Tell me a bit about that experience in New York with the Philharmonic.
Oh, that was really exciting, one of the most terrifying auditions that I've taken in my life. But when I had finished my schooling, well, I have a bachelor's and master's in violin performance from the Manus College of Music. Then I did a complete career change and did the equivalent of another bachelor's degree, professional studies is what we called it, in orchestral conducting, and then another master's. And then I did a professional, an artist diploma at Yale. And of course, I went to the Philharmonic periodically. And while I was at Yale, Kurt Mazur was brought in to do a masterclass with us. So he saw me conduct, took an interest in me, said, "Oh, you're with the Bronx Opera. Let me know when you have a performance. I'd love to come hear you." Well, knowing full well that after New Year's, you know, he's going back to Germany. But I would always leave a little brochure at the backstage desk at Lincoln Center with a little note. "Oh, happy to have you come." Of course, he would never show up. But anyway, one summer, a couple of years after that, I got a call from Wells Kaufman, who was at that time, now he's at Ravinia, at that time, artistic administrator for the New York Philharmonic. And that's one of the times when you get a phone call that changes your life. And here's Wells calling to ask me if I would be available to audition for one of the cover conductors with the New York Philharmonic. And at the time, I looked at my calendar and I said, well, I have a rehearsal that day. Can I cover without an audition? No, you have to audition. And then,
how do you audition for that? Conduct the orchestra?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A cover condition, basically that means that you have to be able to conduct a program at 5 minutes' notice if something happens.
Zero notice.
Right.
Yes. And so what happened is they had an audition. There were nine of us. Mazur established the repertoire. It was Till Eulenspiegel, one of the most frightening pieces.
Strauss, yes.
for the players as well as the conductor. It's a virtuoso piece for everyone.
And you and I both know that the members of the New York Philharmonic are not often bundles of love.
That's right. And when I stood up,
I said it. You don't have to say it.
Well, I was going to say it, but I remember. So there were nine of us. He let us sit in on each other's audition, and knowing that. With Till Eulenspiegel, the formidable Phil Myers was going to be playing
horn.
Sometimes members of the New York Philharmonic are not known for being, you know, a big love fest there. And of course, thinking who had stood on that podium before me, Leonard Bernstein, Mahler, all the great conductors. And so I get up there, the first candidate had gone, and then Mazur sent me up there, and he said, okay, I want you to take over and start at letter D, whatever. So I got up on the podium, introduced myself, and said, well, we'll start at letter D. And I turned around and looked to Mazur out in the audience for approval. And one of the females, right in the front of the violin section, I'm not sure exactly who it was, but she said, was that a question? So I just made sure I made some really good eye contact with her during the audition. But it was one of those... one of the few times in my life that I can count on one hand where an audition went extraordinarily well. And I just felt so great, almost moved to tears afterwards. It went so well.
You're here to teach conducting primarily and to conduct the orchestra, which you did the other night to great acclaim. How does one teach conducting?
I do have a technique. I was blessed with great teachers. My first teacher was Semyon Bishkov, the internationally known conductor. I've been waiting for him to get a post here in the United States. My first teacher was him. I played under him for 5 years.
Is that at Manus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to try to play from memory just to watch him conduct because he was so vivid with his gestures and expressing the music. And my violin playing, even though he was not a violinist, he was a pianist, but my instrument playing, my violin playing improved just by playing in an orchestra under him. So I was so interested in the obvious technique and how, you know, how did you do that? Oh, that was it. Yeah, I would see and feel the results of his physicality in front of the orchestra. And so I signed up for his non-majors class. And that was my first exposure to conducting. He said, oh, why do you want to do that? And I just said, I want to figure out how it is, how you do what you do. Now, I must admit I had a huge crush on him at the time. But so I like to use, this is how I was taught. In fact, I take all of my students, even those who have some experience already, I take them back to doing little vignettes of the Beethoven piano sonata excerpts. And, you know, we do, you know, 16 bars of this, 8 bars of this, legato.
You conduct them while someone's playing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we talk about legato, and actually I think legato is very difficult.
Staccato, that's the line of music.
Hard. It's
right.
The showing the line. But also, and then we talk about dada rhythm and fermatas, of course, and other technical issues. But by the time they get through these, and then we ended up with the recitative, usually Thus Saith the Lord from Messiah. Not as easy as it looks on those two pages.
Yet once a little while.
So, you know, by the time they get done with this blueprint, so to speak, then we are speaking the same language, and then I take them into the repertoire. And we usually do something like, Haydn 104, something with a slow introduction, the Egmont Overture, Magic Flute Overture, anything with a slow introduction, which requires subdivision, which we talk about in the Beethovens as well. So it's just a great way of introducing the various gestures so that they begin to build up a palette of technique.
So I guess you can make a conductor.
Oh, that's essential.
Rather than they have to be born with a certain predisposition to be able to do it. For example, I have 3 degrees in music and I can't count, so I can't function like a musician. I just can't do it. Can't do it. So, but I talk for a living, but I digress. But can you make a conductor?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Well, of course, you know, the prerequisite is that they have to be proficient at an instrument, preferably an orchestral instrument or piano, because I sat as a violinist. I was an excellent violinist before I became a conductor, and in fact, rewinding the tapes to that non-majors class, it became evident early on that I had a certain proficiency with gesture. Yes, you can make a conductor. However, not everybody has the proficiency. I did, and I was encouraged by Yakov Kreisberg to consider being a double major. I was not ready emotionally at that time. I wanted to become more proficient as a violinist first, before I took that big step, and it's a very big step, up on the podium. And I'm really glad that I did, because now I'm instantly comfortable in front of 2/3 of the orchestra right away. And the reason why you have to become proficient as an instrumentalist as a prerequisite is that you need to be, and especially sitting in the orchestra. I played most of the orchestral repertoire several times before doing a career change. But you also have to see, you know, how you diagnose and solve a problem. And as a conductor, especially depending on the level of orchestra, you could be with a community orchestra, a regional orchestra, a professional orchestra, a very high-level professional orchestra. And different orchestras need different things. So you have to be able to have the technique to, if one suggestion doesn't work, you have to come up with something else. And maybe you you do that dotted rhythm with a hooked bow, and sometimes you do it with a shoeshine bow and bowing to get the kind of sound that you want. But I find that being a string player is a huge asset. And of course, a string section can always tell if the conductor is not a string player. If they ask them to, could you please vibrate in the 16th position in that 16th note in Don Juan, that's kind of a dead giveaway that they're not. But I speak the language, so I feel very comfortable. In addition to the Columbus Symphony and the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra, a colleague of mine, Siwoo Kim, has started the Vivo Chamber Orchestra, Music Festival.
Right.
And they're 5
Just
years
finished,
now.
Yeah.
Very proud of him. Now, Siwoo and I have, here's what we have in common. Decades ago, I was the star of Westerville South High School as the violinist. And then decades later, he also was the violin star at Westerville South High School. So we have a kinship there. And eventually, I'd like to bring him as a soloist with the OSU Orchestra just to see, you know, the hometown kids that made good. And I'm just delighted that he's from Columbus. And he, too, like me, is trying to bring more and more great music to the Columbus area. Now, my love of music was fostered here in the public school music education, and had the arts budget been cut when I was in elementary school, I would not be here today having this conversation with you. So Central Ohio has notoriously been a hub for great music in the public school music ed. So I intend to continue contributing to that now from an academic position with Ohio State.